This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Everybody, and welcome to this another edition of Terror Tuesdays here at the Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. I'm your host, The Vern, and for the next several minutes, folks, I'm going to be giving you two tales, that's right, two reviews of two movies that are so ghastly, so horrifying, so deeply disturbing, you will not believe your ears. Alright, that's a little bit dramatic, I apologize, but I am going to be giving you folks two reviews of two horror features. One of them is the 2015 The Devil's Candy, and the other one is the 2017 Netflix series The End of the Fucking World. Without getting into any more details here, let's get into our reviews. Here is The Devil's Candy.
We've come to the place where we joke about the idea of the devil. But that is Satan's lie to distract us from the reality of who he is.
Hey, what's going on?
It's like it flowed through me. I don't remember painting this.
This is Mommy and Daddy's house. They're dead.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I need to come home now.
We are his pawns. We are his demons on Earth. He uses us to carry out his unspeakable deeds. We satiate his hunger.
Your latest work is wonderfully disturbed.
All right, so The Devil's Candy is a 2015 horror movie written and directed by Sean Byrne. And the story is about this family who move into a new home where the previous tenants were involved in a horrific tragedy. When the father begins hearing strange, demonic voices, he puts the lives of his family and himself in major danger. Now, this is a movie that I have seen on a lot of horror critics' lists. All right, and it's one I was interested in watching based on the reviews I read. Its premise seemed like a retread of other demonic possession movies and haunted house movies that I have seen before, but I was still willing to give it a shot. And I gotta say, my results are not as positive as my peers. So, in the prologue, we meet Raymond Smile, he's played by Pooch Taylor Vince, an older man who is seen playing guitar to avoid hearing the voices of the devil in his head. After his mother makes him unplug it, the voices get stronger and he kills her. Cut to the following year, the house is now sold to this new family. We got the father, Jesse, played by Ethan Embry. He's this, like, struggling painter, and while trying to finish a project for, like, this bank, Jesse begins to hear the same voices as Raymond did, and he starts painting these horrific satanic imagery, some that even show his daughter, Zoe, played by Kiara Glasgow, being burned alive. As the voices grow more stronger and stronger, Jesse becomes more detached from his family. Meanwhile, Ray, who has been given into the voices more, begins killing young kids to appease, I believe it's his master, Satan, right there. This is where the story lost me, folks. So, I want to know, why wasn't Ray being monitored more closely? It is clear that he is not a well-adjusted individual. After the death of his mother, I never understood why he was allowed to roam as free as he did. Even if it was deemed as an accident, I still feel that there should have been much more suspicion on his part. Especially when he is in stores buying cans of gasoline and lighters, okay? Now, I get that he's the one who at first wants to help the family, which explains why he gives Zoe his guitar, but the explanation of the death of his mother just being an accident, and that's why he was never convicted and even questioned, never sat well with me. The story of the father being isolated while also ignoring his family has been done several times before. It does take a slightly different approach with its ending, unlike other movies about possession, but the rest of the first half of the movie is just paint-by-number storytelling. I would rather have the daughter be the main character and have her find out that she is the Devil's Candy. For me, it would have a bit more weight than the latter, alright? The Devil's Candy is directed by Sean Byrne. and he is best known to horror fans for directing the movie The Loved Ones. Now, that is a movie where I liked the performances from the cast, but I wasn't a fan of the story, and that's how I feel about The Devil's Candy. I think the cast in this is just fine, and there are some really good performances from Bruce Taylor-Vince and Ethan Embry. I just didn't find any of the story engaging. While it may have moments that are shocking, the rest of it is rather quite bland. So yeah, I think I'm going to give The Devil's Candy out of 5 stars. I'm going to give it just 2. And I'm being generous with that one, folks, here, too. Yeah, it's just standard. It's not as shocking or dangerous. And one critic said, it's like they made a movie that listened to what the devil is really like. And it's like, all right, it just talks about the evil of men. And yeah, 2 stars on that one, folks. But I'm going to get into my review of The End of the Fucking World. But before I do that, let's hear a small trailer from some other great podcast shows, all right? We'll be back, all right?
After these messages, we'll be right back.
I'm Clint.
And I'm Jared.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Alcohollywood,
your source for inebriation,
which you're not listening to right now, because this is just a promo for a weekly podcast on all kinds of movies, new, old, good, bad.
Yeah, especially bad.
Plus, we invent a cocktail and a drinking game inspired by each film.
And sometimes we make jokes. Not this time, but sometimes.
Subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher and check out the whole shebang at alcohollywood.com.
Hello, everybody. My name is Damien from the Damien Riley Podcast. On each episode, I give you a short review of a movie that you know and love, or one you're not quite sure about, all in 5 minutes or less. You can listen to me on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podomatic, iTunes, my website, thedamienrileypodcast.com, and most places where you can find podcasts. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. My handle there is TheDRPodcast, and Facebook by the show's name. Also, my RSS feed is thedamienrileypodcast.com/feed/podcast. Thanks for listening, and as Roger Ebert used to say, I'll see you at the movies.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cinema Recall Podcast, Terror Tuesdays. I'm your host, Laverne, and let's get into our next feature. So sometimes a movie or a television series, they do something that completely surprises you. I call this the magic trick. This occurs when you think you know what you are watching, and you can predict how the story will go, but then something changes and you're caught completely off guard. And this is how I felt after watching the new Netflix series, The End of the Fucking World. Here's the trailer. I'll be back.
I'm James. I'm 17. And I'm pretty sure I'm a psychopath. When I was 9, I put my hand in a deep fat fryer. I wanted to make myself feel something. School was beneath me, but it was a good place for observation and selection. I had a plan. I was going to kill someone.
Hey.
I've seen you skating. You're pretty shit.
Fuck off.
Working all day with my mind on fire. Stop thinking of you.
I kind of think I could fall in love with him.
I thought she could be interesting to kill, so I pretended to fall in love with her.
Walking all day with my feet on.
This is nice.
What is?
I thought probably he was gay.
He does, prick. Let's leave this shithole town. I'm going whether you come with me or not. You in?
I didn't know where we were going or when I was going to kill her. I punched my dad in the face and stole his car, and that felt like a good place to start.
We can literally do anything.
Do you want to go on a date?
I will have a banana split and an extra fucking spoon.
Sorry, that's it, right?
Marvin! Oh, yeah. See if Marvin can make a banana split for me, you fucking... Bye, Marvin!
Seemed that Alyssa had some issues.
The End of the Fucking World is a new series from Netflix based on the graphic novel created by Charles S. Forman. The premise centers around a young man named James, played by Alex Lawther, who thinks he's a psychopath. Putting his hand into a deep fryer and killing small animals, James wants to take his obsession a step further and kill a live human being. This is when Alyssa, played by Jessica Barden, enters the story. She is a rebellious youth who doesn't like her parents or any of her peers and takes an immediate interest in James, not knowing any of the danger that we see for her. After knocking out his dad and stealing his car, James and Alyssa go on a road trip to find her real father. Now, the use of narration to get inside the heads of both the main characters is really quite effective. We get to know these characters are not so different from each other. While watching these two characters bond, there are moments when both of them are not as we perceive them to be. What I thought was going to be a very pitch-black comedy about a psychopath killing his first victim turns into a road trip of two lost people finding for the first time ever are connecting with someone. Alice Lothar and Jessica Barden are great as the two main characters, and their adventures reminded me a lot of the movies Badland and Moonrise Kingdom. Both feature young kids who run away from the adult world to create their own, but in those stories, the two characters start off in love, and in this series, they do not. Alyssa may have started the relationship with James, but she doesn't love him right away. She just does it as an act of rebellion. Same thing goes for James, who just wanted to see what it was like to kill a real person. The way these two form a bond with each other is one I never found in stories like this before. Even at moments when you think that they will fall in love and have a connection, it doesn't go that same route, and I really appreciate that. The so-called magic moment when the show went from being a dark comedy to one that is heartfelt and romantic will be different for you. For me, it was small moments of them in the car, or in one episode when they are separated from each other, that gave the story a real emotional weight for me. Now, that's not to say the movie doesn't have its moments of shock and violence and gore, and it does. It's the type of real violence I haven't seen since Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Maybe not to that high of extreme, but pretty close. Especially when you have a character like James, who on all counts should have turned out to be a dangerous psychopath. The End of the Fucking World is only 8 episodes, and each one is about 30 minutes long. So you should have no time getting through the series in one night. Being that it is short, there are some plot developments that end a lot faster than they should. This is still a good series and one that I do recommend. I gotta give The End of the Fucking World out of 5 stars. I'm giving it 4.5. Yes, that slashing points, there are a few moments right there where I feel like there's like a resolution that ends too quick. Like, there's a problem that happens for our character that should take a while to be solved, but it's like, next episode, it's done with. We're done with that, and I think they could build it up a little bit more. I think this would work better as a movie than a TV series, but still a good one. 4.5 stars. I think that's it right now, folks, for this episode of Cinema Recalls Terror Tuesdays. We will be back. Our next episodes will be on Pan's Labyrinth, and I'm bringing on my good guest, Tony Coogan, of Coog's Movie Reviews, to go over that feature with me. And then after that, we're going to be doing our episode on Clue, and we're going to have on that episode Sean of 1001 Movies Podcast, and we'll be on that he'll be on that show to talk about that movie. As always, you can go onto our website, which is thatmomentin.com. Look us up. We are on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, Player FM, most places you can find podcasts. We do have a Twitter page. We are at @cinema_recall. We're also on Facebook. Just type in the words Cinema Recall. That's it for now. I do know on the site I plan on posting and basically an updated list of future episodes that are going to be coming to the podcast. And I should have that up hopefully by the time the Pan's Labyrinth episode comes up. There'll be an article telling you, the listener, future upcoming episodes. And if you ever want to be on the podcast, please message us on Twitter or on Facebook. You can email us too. We are cinemarecall@gmail.com. But I think that's going to leave it for right now. That's going to just take care of everything. But again, thank you for listening. I'm your host, The Vern. If you have any horrific features that I should watch, please, like I said before, send us an email, message us on our Twitter page. But that is it for right now. Good night, everybody. Take care. Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.